雅各书第五章
James chapter
5。雅各书第五章，我们一同读几节的圣经。
We'll read several verses together。
我们要读第十五、第十六两节。
Verse 15 and 16。
雅各书第五章
James chapter 5。
我们一同来读第十五、第十六两节。
Verses 15 and 16。
换到了一同开声来读。雅各书第五章第十五、第十六两节，我们一同来读。出于信心的祈祷，要救那病人，主必叫他起来。他若犯了罪，也必蒙赦免。所以你们要彼此认罪，互相代求，使你们可以得医治。一人祈祷所发的力量是大有功效的。我们读经就到这个地方。上个礼拜我们在这里思想到医病、祷告、信心得医治的这个问题。
And last week we talked about the theme of prayer, faith and healing.
这个问题在整个历史中间差不多1900年没有太多被人拿来作为主要的讨论。
In the history for the past 1900 years, it was not a very important topic.
到了1901年的时候
But in 1901,
在美国的 Topeka 有一个人。
In America, Topeka, there's a person.
4年以后
After 4 years,
美国的1905年 Azusa Street, Los Angeles 变成五个这样的人。
In 1905, in Azusa Street in San Francisco, there were 5.
发展到1989年的时候
By 1989,
这些人也就变成了全世界2,380,000人。
There are 288 million people in the world.
这些人就是现在我们所知道的灵恩运动的这些人。
And these are the charismatics.
那么灵恩运动的前身就是五旬节教会的运动。
The charismatics started from the Pentecostal movement.
他们说20世纪是圣灵的世纪。
They said that the 20th century is a century of the Holy Spirit.
他们说过去的历史许多时候遗忘了圣灵的工作。
That in the past we have ignored the work of the Holy Spirit.
所以呢，过去的教会是注重教义，而不注重圣灵的动力。
And so the church of the past placed emphasis in theology and not the dynamism of the Holy Spirit.
所以我们到二十世纪的时候
，When we reach the 20th century,
就应当回到使徒的信仰。
We need to return to the faith of the apostles.
但是这个这么伟大的名称。
This is such a grand word.
圣灵的工作。
The work of the Holy Spirit.
圣灵的动力。
The dynamism of the Holy Spirit.
使徒的信仰。
The faith of the apostles.
到底他们怎么解释呢？
How do you explain all this?
他们所说的 apostolic faith, 使徒的信仰，就是四件重要的事情。
To them, the apostolic faith refer to 4 things.
就是医病。
Healing.
赶鬼。
Exorcism.
行神迹。
Miracles.
跟讲方言。
And tongues.
当一个教会没有这四件事的时候
，If a church does not display these 4 things,
这个教会就失去了使徒的传统。
And they say there are no apostolic tradition.
这四件事的时候
，But when the church display this,
得回了使徒的信仰。
We have received apostolic faith.
那么这件事慢慢就变成普世性的影响了。
And this has universal influence.
而在这个运动中间的人
，Within this movement,
他们都是如火如荼。
All of them were fervent.
他们很勇敢地相信有一天全世界都要走这条路。
Boldly, they believe that the whole world will move along the same way.
他们引用了约珥书里面的话语。
And so they quoted from the book of Joel.
凡有血气的人都要见异梦，都要看到异象，都要行异能。
And those who have breath will see visions and strange dreams and do wonders.
那么从1901年到2000年。
From the year 1901 to 2000,
这个世纪中间发生了基督教界历史里面从来没有的数量加添的一个新纪元。
And this is a century where numerical numbers happen rapidly.
现在二十世纪已经过去了。
But the 20th century had gone.
那我们可以比较更冷静的思考这个事情。
So we can look at it with cool mind.
1969年我在瑞士的时候。
In 1969 when I was in Switzerland.
有一个人就对我说 ,20th century is the century of the Holy Spirit.
有人说二十世纪是圣灵的世纪。
我对他说，我们评论过去的世纪的时候，因为时期过了，我们才来好好冷静的思想。
I said to him that, well, we can look at the past with a cool mind.
所以我说二十世纪是怎样的世纪，等我们二十一世纪再来评论好不好？
So I say we got to judge the 20th century in the 21st century.
那么他们很不同意。
They did not agree.
But 我们现在可以很冷静的思考。
But now we can think about it carefully.
二十世纪所发生的这灵恩的运动
，the charismatic movement in the 20th century，
是不是圣灵的工作呢
？Was it the work of the Holy Spirit？
他们所教导的圣灵教义。
The doctrines of the Holy Spirit.
是不是圣灵中间所讲的圣灵的教义呢
？Was it something from the Bible?
我发现了非常大的不同。
I discovered there are great differences.
是不是历史中间很少提到圣灵的工作呢
？Could it be that in history we do not talk about the Holy Spirit?
是
，Yes.
我们所认为的使徒的教训是什么呢
？What are the apostolic teachings that we know?
我们所谓的使徒的信仰是什么呢？
What about the apostolic faith?
说就是使徒信经了。
You said it's the Apostles' Creed.
所以你在这个使徒行传第二章里面看见一个很重要的原则。
In Acts chapter 2, there's a very important principle.
初期的教会都遵守使徒的教训。
The early church followed closely the teachings of the apostles.
使徒的教训就成为历世历代检验这个教会是真教会或者是假的教会的第一个原则。
And the teachings of the apostles become the first principle to ascertain whether a church is real or not.
教会不再坚守使徒传下来的这个教训的时候
，when the church no longer hold fast,
这个教会就不是真教会。
It cannot be the real church.
这个原则的重要性
，the importance of this principle，
是使教会可以继续不断在历史中间维持下去，屹立不动。真正的根基
is that it is a foundation that enables the church to continue to grow without falling.
上帝借着使徒、先知成为教会的根基，由基督耶稣为房角石。
God has enabled the church to be built upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles, and with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone.
新约圣经三次把使徒跟先知两个这份并列的时候。都是使徒在前，先知在后，从来事情没有颠倒。
Three times in the Bible, the apostles and the prophets are linked together, always with the apostles first.
哥林多前书第十二章二十八节。
First Corinthians chapter 12 verse 28.
以弗所书二章二十节。
Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20.
以弗所书四章十一十二节。
Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 and 12.
为什么先知是旧约，使徒是新约，但是摆列在一起的时候？总是先使徒后先知的。
Why was the apostle always listed first before the prophets, although the prophets were from the Old Testament?
因为我们只有透过新约的启示，才能正解旧约的预备。
The reason is because only through the New Testament can we understand the Old.
这是解经的原则。
This is the principle of exposition.
新约蕴藏在旧约的里面。
The New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament.
而旧约被新约所成全。
But the Old Testament is made perfect by the New.
所以旧约隐藏了新约，而新约成全了旧约。
The Old Testament has hidden the New Testament messages in it, but the New Testament completed the Old.
不透过使徒是没有办法正解旧约的信息的。
Therefore, unless it is true, the apostles, you cannot understand the old completely.
那如果唐牧师连你讲这个原则是不是圣经的根据呢？我告诉你是的。
And you say, Dr. Tong, is this from the Bible? I will say yes.
为什么呢
？Why?
因为当腓力见亚提亚伯太监的时候
，Because when Philip met the eunuch from Ethiopia，
这个腓力不是使徒腓力啊。
This was not the apostle Philip.
这个腓力是传福音的腓力。
But the preacher Philip.
所以这个腓力呢，就解释给亚提亚伯太监说。
And he explained this to the eunuch of Ethiopia.
你所读的圣经。
The scripture that you read.
就是以赛亚书五十三章。
Isaiah chapter 53.
那个是讲论到刚刚发生的被钉在十字架上耶稣基督的事情。
He said this refers to the thing that just happened, Jesus Christ crucified.
所以这样新约成为解释旧约的钥匙，就在这一段里面很清楚给我们看出来。
And so this passage demonstrated clearly how the New Testament is used to explain the Old.
先知先看见将要发生的事情。
The prophets were able to see what will happen next.
所以他们望见将要来的基督。
And they are able to see the Christ that is to come.
但是这些先知没有一个真正看见耶稣到世界上来。
But none of the prophets lived to see Jesus Christ.
直到约翰一个人见到耶稣的时候。
Until John the Baptist witnessed Jesus.
他就指名道姓说：“看哪、啊，上帝的仆人，除去世人罪孽的。”
And so he declared, Behold the servant of God, he who takes away the sins of the world.
换句话说, 旧约里面所指的, 现在具体在历史上出现。
In other words, what the Old Testament has predicted is here physically.
耶稣基督说, 妇人所生的, 兴起来, 没有一个大过施洗约翰的。
So Jesus Christ declared that none born of woman is greater than John the Baptist.
所有的先知, 只有在死以前, 仰望耶稣要来, 但是约翰亲眼看见耶稣已经来了。
Because all prophets has looked at Jesus in faith, but John the Baptist saw him physically.
所有的先知在他们人生走路一半的时候，受上帝的感动，领受圣灵的充满。
All the prophets in the midst of their life are called by God and inspired by the Holy Spirit.
施洗约翰是唯一在母腹中间就被圣灵充满的先知。
But John the Baptist was the only prophet filled with the Holy Spirit when he was in his mother's womb.
我很惋惜地讲一句话。
I say this regretfully.
以色列人等了400年没有先知，约翰才被差来。
The Israelites had to wait 400 years for John the Baptist.
约翰是先知里面最大的, 因为他亲眼看耶稣，也成为最后的。从他死以后就没有先知了。
And he was the greatest of all prophets because he witnessed Jesus for himself, and also the greatest because he was the last.
虽然使徒行传提到了腓力的四个女儿是先知说预言。
Although Acts mentioned the four daughters of Philip who are prophetess,
他们有先知的这个功用，没有真正先知的这份。
Although they have the functions of the prophet, but they do not have the office of the prophet.
耶稣说，先知说预言到约翰什么为止，所以不能相比了。
Because Jesus has declared that prophecy has ended with the prophets.
所以今天灵恩派的人如果说他们有先知，他们有使徒，你不要信他，因为耶稣基督说已经停了。
So today, if the charismatic declare that there are prophets and apostles among them, do not believe them because Jesus has declared cessation.
连尼托生就认为现在还有先知有使徒，这是与圣经不符合的。
Even watchmen Nee believe that there are prophets and apostles, but this is not biblical.
那么当耶稣基督到世界上来以后,
After Jesus Christ came,
使徒这份就开始了,
and the office of the apostles started.
先知这份就结束了,
but that of the prophets ended.
所以先知是在基督来以前预言耶稣的来到。
The prophets prophesied the coming of the Christ before Jesus.
使徒是在先知到了以后讲解基督的救赎跟他的意义。
But the apostles spoke about the salvation of Jesus Christ and the meaning after Christ had come.
使徒与先知就变成教会的根基。
So both the prophets and apostles become the foundation of the church.
使徒就成了解释先知的钥匙。
The apostles become the key to explain the prophets.
使徒信仰就成了真教会的记号。
The faith of the apostles become the mark of the true church.
当灵恩派的人说我们有回复到使徒的教信的时候，使徒信仰的时候，
When the charismatic says we are returning to apostolic faith,
就有点像摩门教的人所说的。
It's similar to what the Mormons say.
已经经过1900年教会睡觉，上帝借着 Smith 使教会复兴起来了。
That the church revived the church, the God revived the church through Joseph Smith after 1900 years of silence.
如果1905年才开始慢慢发展的灵恩运动是回复到使徒的教训的话，
If charismatic movement that started in 1905 is a return to apostolic faith,
岂不等于说从第一个世纪一直到1901到1905年那个运动，这1900年来，我们都没有使徒的教训吗？
Does that not mean that the apostolic teaching were missing for 1900 years?
所以这个问题就是怎样解释什么叫做使徒信仰的关键。
And so this question will help us understand what apostolic teachings mean.
新派的人也将他们传福音。
A liberal will say they are preaching the gospel.
他们所传的福音是什么呢?
What sort of gospel is this?
就是报喜信。
That there is good news.
贫穷人有福音听。
The poor will hear the gospel.
征战停止了。
That war will cease.
禧年来到了。
The millennium will come.
耶稣在加伯农堂会里面所引用的以赛亚书的那几句话。
These are verses that Jesus used in the synagogue of Capernaum.
而福音派的人所讲的福音是什么呢?
But the evangelical says,
你要把基督为罪人死，为罪人埋葬，为罪人复活，使人以上帝和好的好消息传遍地基，使万 民做耶稣的门徒。
You are to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that He died and was resurrected for all of us, to the entire world.
同样谈福音，同样谈好消息，所讲的是不同圣经的引用。
There are two different forms of the good news here, using different parts of the Bible.
照样，同样谈使徒的信仰，都是用不同的话来解释。
In the same manner, apostolic faith is described differently.
所以灵恩运动。
The charismatic movement,
讲的就是那四件事叫做使徒的信仰。
Refer to these four items that I mentioned earlier.
我告诉你，这四件事是我们为上帝工作、为福音的预备的时候所曾经看到的现象，不是信仰。
These four things are the phenomena that we see as we do the work of God, but it's not faith.
现象跟本质分不开，你什么事情都乱了。
You will be confused if you cannot tell the difference between the phenomena and the essence.
那把这些现象当作是真正圣灵的工作，那你就更危险了。
And you will be in crisis if you treat the phenomena as the work of the Holy Spirit.
圣灵把真理从天上带到地上来。
The Holy Spirit brought the truth from heaven to earth.
当道在地上显现的时候
，When the word is manifested on the world,
以文字的形式显现，叫做圣经。
It is manifested in the form of words. This is called the Bible.
肉身的形式显现，叫做道成肉身的耶稣。
And when he comes in the physical body, is God incarnate.
所以这是正统信仰中间圣灵最大的工作。
This is in orthodoxy the greatest work of the Holy Spirit.
圣灵最大的工作就把上帝的道带到地上来。
The greatest work of the Holy Spirit is to bring the word of God on the world.
圣灵感动使徒先知写下永远的真理，就是圣经。
The Holy Spirit inspired the prophets and the apostles to write the Bible.
圣灵感孕玛利亚童贞女，就生出了道成肉身的耶稣。
And Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit by Mary.
那个圣灵在借着这本圣经的真理，借着基督的死与复活重生人，就产生了历史历代众圣徒所组成的圣教会。
And through the truth in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit regenerates the life of people that there may be people who form the church.
这是真正的圣灵的工作。
This is what the work of the Holy Spirit means.
如果你讲方言，才叫做有圣灵。
If you say that by speaking in tongues, it means you have Holy Spirit.
你说预言才叫做有圣灵。
Then if you prophesy, then there is Holy Spirit.
你祷告病就会好，才叫做有圣灵。
Then if you pray and healing occurs, then you have Holy Spirit.
神迹奇事才叫做有圣灵。
If you have signs and wonders, then you have the Holy Spirit.
甚至改变了你能倒在地上哈哈大笑几个钟头，才叫做有圣灵。
Or that the Holy Spirit is with you, you lie on the floor and laugh hysterically for hours.
像变性呼一个气，人就倒下去，向后仰天。朝上，这才叫做有圣灵。
That the Holy Spirit is there when Benny Hinn would breathe on the people and they will all fall backwards.
这些东西都是与圣经的原则非常差异的。
These are far apart from biblical principles.
所以这样我们要很清楚地看出。
We must be clear about this.
什么叫做圣灵的工作
？What is the work of the Holy Spirit?
圣灵工作的总原则是什么
？The general principle of His work.
其实我很不愿意，但是我一定要讲。最多讲圣灵的人是最不明白圣灵的教义的人。
I'm not willing to say this, but I tell you that people preach the most about Holy Spirit often do not understand.
但如果你说为什么人倒在地上，他说圣灵的工作啊。
But then these people are falling on the floor. They say it's the work of the Holy Spirit.
信仰啊。
Is this apostolic faith?
我问你，为什么圣经没有人被圣灵充满就倒在地上呢
？Then my question is, why is there not an incident like that in the Bible?
他们会回答你说，你不要用圣经限制圣灵。
They will tell you that you are not to limit the Holy Spirit with the Bible.
换句话说，他好像信了一个原则，就是圣灵是比圣经更大的事情。
It seems to have a principle here where the Holy Spirit is larger than the Bible.
为了这些字，我深思怎样表达上帝的圣经里面真正的意义。
I have been thinking deeply about these things to express the true meaning of God in the Bible.
两个月前，我在我的教里面讲了一篇我从来没有讲过的道理。
2 months ago, I preached a sermon that I've never done in my church.
我讲自我限制的上帝。
I talk about God who is self-limiting.
圣父是自我限制的上帝。
God the Father is a self-limiting God.
圣子是自我限制的上帝。
God the Son is a self-limiting God.
圣灵是自我限制的上帝。
The Holy Spirit is a self-limiting God.
圣父怎样限制自己的
？How does God the Father limits himself?
圣父不是自由的吗
？Isn't he free?
圣父的自由不是绝对的吗
？Isn't his freedom absolute?
圣父上帝用他绝对的自由 限制在他一切道德本性的范围里面。
But God the Father uses his absolute freedom to constrain himself within ethical boundaries.
然后他用一句话来安慰我们。
And then he consoles us.
他是没有背负自己的上帝。
That he is a God who is faithful unto himself.
当我读到英国的这个 John Stott 神学家所写的一句话，连上帝的自由也不绝对的话的时候，我开始怀疑这句话到底对不对。
The English theologian John Stott said, "Even the freedom of God is not absolute," and I was wondering whether he's right.
John Stott 是圣公会里面归正神学信仰的神学家。
John Stott is a Reformed theologian within the Anglican system.
这句话把不绝对套在上帝的身上。
In this sentence, frame God in a sense where He's not absolute.
我不能接受。
I cannot accept this.
所以我相信上帝的自由是绝对的。
I believe that God's freedom is absolute.
如果上帝的自由是绝对的
，If that were the case,
为什么上帝不犯罪呢
？Why would He not sin?
为什么上帝不没有犯罪的自由呢
？Why does He not have the freedom to sin?
那我要产生一种完整的。天衣无缝的神学思想。
I want to have a comprehensive theological system.
我们要从这方面去思考。
To do that, we need to think from here.
上帝的自由虽然是绝对的
，although the freedom of God is absolute,
他一定不让绝对的自由违背他的道德本性。
He will not allow this absolute freedom to go against his ethical beliefs.
上帝是有绝对的甘心，把他绝对的自由享负在他一切的道德本性的限制里面。所以上帝限制了自己。
And so God used his absolute willingness to subject his absolute freedom within the boundary of ethics.
这位上帝是自我限制的上帝。
Therefore, this God is a self-limiting God.
第二样。
Secondly,
耶稣基督到世界上来的时候
，When Jesus Christ came to the world,
他是无限者。
He was infinite.
他有无穷生命的大能。
With unlimited power of life.
上帝赐给他圣灵是没有限量的。
The spirit that God has given to him is without limit.
这位无限的上帝来到世界成全救赎的恩典的时候
，But when this infinite God came to accomplish the work of salvation,
他取了个道成肉身的形式
，He came in the flesh.
他被限制在血肉的身体的里面
，To be constrained in a physical body.
创造者进到受造界
，The Creator entered into the created world.
无限者进入有限界
，The infinite entered into the finite.
绝对者进入这个相对界
，The absolute entered into the relative world.
永恒者进入历史界
，The eternal one entered into temporal history.
不朽者进入能败坏的世界中间
，That which cannot decay entered into the corrupted world.
他在这一个朽坏的。暂时的相对的受造界里面限制自己
and he constrained himself in this created world that can decay and is limited
结果变成一个有血肉可以被杀死的人
and became a human being in the flesh that could be killed
这是他的特意
this is his own will
所以弟兄有血肉的身体
the Bible says the brothers have a body in flesh
照样成了血肉的身体他要借着死来打败张世杰的魔鬼。
In the same manner, he took on the flesh that through death he may defeat Satan who holds on to death.
圣子是自我限制的上帝。
So God the Son is a self-constraining God.
一个人不认识、不承认、不相信基督是道成肉身来的，这就是从渺茫的灵。是假基督的灵所教导出来的。
When a person does not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, it is from the evil spirit.
约翰一书第四章告诉我们
，First John chapter 4 says，
你要相信这位自我限制成了肉身的上帝，你的信仰才是纯正的信仰。
Your faith is only considered orthodox and pure if you believe in God incarnate.
你们都知道，最近 National Geographic 发表了一些有关于犹大福音书的事情。
Recently, National Geographic published stories relating to the Gospel of Judas.
这是继达芬奇口以后，一波又一波抵挡纯正信仰的世界运动。冲到教会里面来。
And this is the second movement after the Vinci Code in opposition to Christianity.
我们早就预备好了。
We are all prepared.
我们一点不会受动摇。
We are not shaken.
因为整个 The Gospel of Judas 原来是 Gnosticism 的一个产品。
Because the Gospel of Judas is a product of Gnosticism.
Gnosticism 根本就不相信物质本身有圣洁的可能。
And Gnostics do not believe that material can ever be pure.
所以他们就不接受基督道成肉身的这个事情。
They have never accepted that Jesus could come in the flesh.
记得我不偏到那里去了。
I will not deviate there.
那圣子限制自己。
When the Son of God constrained himself,
才有为我们死的可能。
Therefore, he has the possibility to die.
人所认为的愚昧，但是却比世人最大的智慧还更有智慧。
We may look at this as ignorant and foolish, but it's greater than the greatest wisdom we have.
第三样。
Thirdly,
圣灵是自我限制的上帝。
The Holy Spirit is a self-constraining God.
圣灵教导真理的时候，就把一切有关生命敬虔的道理启示成为这一本的圣经。
The Holy Spirit inspired us, and all the things relating to holy living is seen in His Word.
圣灵要引导教会进入一切的真理。
The Holy Spirit will guide the church to enter into all truth.
这一切的真理就是无限者的真理。
And this truth is the truth of the infinite.
这一切的真理就成为圣经所限制的文字记录中间所要表达的真理。
And all truth is the truth that is expressed in the constraint of words.
所以当灵恩派的人对你说，
If the charismatic say to you,
这些虽然圣经没有记载，
although these are not recorded in the Bible,
你不可以反对，
you cannot oppose it.
因为圣灵比圣经更大的好，
because the Holy Spirit is greater than the word,
我们就会中魔鬼的当。
We will fall into the trap of the Satan.
圣经不相信基督道成肉身限制自己是邪恶的信仰。
It's just like a false teaching of how Jesus Christ cannot possibly come in the flesh.
照样，你不相信圣灵只在圣经中间引导人进入真理，你也变成放松一个没有负责任的开放的信仰。
And so, if you do not believe that the Holy Spirit is constrained by God's word, then your faith is a loose one.
所以基督徒应该回到圣经里面。
Therefore, the Christians need to return to His word.
圣灵是真理的灵。
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth.
圣灵是启示圣经的灵。
He is the Spirit that reveals God's word.
圣灵是把所启示的真理限制在圣经的记载里面的灵。
He is the Spirit that constrains the revealed truth within God's word.
所以我看见二十世纪末。二十一世纪初，这世界的末世中间，信仰的混乱是很可怕的。
I see a frightening confusion of faith at the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st.
你们宁可不读神学，好过你乱读神学。
Maybe it's better not to learn theology than to learn the wrong theology.
你宁可没有建立一个有系统的信仰，好过建立一个错误的系统的信仰。
It's better not to have a system of faith than to have a wrong system of faith.
所谓师徒的信仰，
the apostolic faith,
不是这些能力的现象，
is not the manifestation of the phenomena.
是指在基督里面我们对真道的忠实，
but it is the faithfulness towards the truth of God.
所以用这个做前引，
if you use this as the preface,
我们再看这段圣经的时候，
and then we look at this verse,
发现今天有许多人假借医病的这一种圣经的记载，
that you will see that many people misuse the recording of healings,
大大利用这种作为世人上钩的那种动机来行他们的群众运动，
to use this as the movement to attract people so that they will fall into the trap.
你只要信，你的病一定会好。
If you believe, you will surely be healed.
我们只要祷告，真正相信我们所祷告一定会好。
If we pray earnestly and truly believe in what we pray, we will heal.
奉耶稣的名向父求，一定赐给我们。
If we pray in the name of the Son for the Father, surely we will receive.
这句话是圣经啊。
These are from the Bible.
这是圣经的应许啊。
The promises of the Bible.
这句话是非常适合他们内心的要求，所以他们喜欢用。
They like these verses because it suits their needs.
那么圣经这些话就没有价值了吗？
Does that mean that these words have no value?
不是的。
Not so.
圣经所有的话都存到永远。
All the words of the Bible will last to all eternity.
圣经的话不是单单你用断章取义的办法来处理真理的问题。
But the words of God are not to be used for the faith by just dragging any verse you want.
你要比较经文。
You must make a comparison.
上帝的道完全讲出上帝各方面的心意，怎样结合起一个可信的真理。
That the word of God will reveal to us the will of God that we will believe in His truth.
是不是上帝应许所有的病，只要有信心祷告，一定会好？
Is it true that God has promised that if you pray in faith, all the illnesses will be healed?
不是的。
No.
如果有这样的一句话，你找给我看。
Please show me a verse that says that.
所有的病。
All sickness,
所有的人，
all people,
只要有信心，
if you have faith,
只要 祷告，
if you pray,
一定会好，
surely you'll be healed.
这样就是全世界那些有信心的人就没有一个会病死的。
If that were the case, all men and women of faith will never die.
最多撞死，
maybe they'll die of accident.
不可能病死，
they will not die of illnesses.
事实证明连灵恩派最大的领袖很多是病死的。
The fact is that even great charismatic leaders die of illnesses.
如果你的理性还有功效的话，
if you're still able to reason,
请问这些人是不是一生有信心，最后一次没有信心才病死的呢？
Is it the case that these people manifested faith all their life until the last moment?
这种信仰的人一定是走到低潮的时候才死，他们的灵性没有继续长进到最后一秒。
And so it will, if that were the case, their faith must be very bad until the last stage.
如果基督徒所有的病一定会借着祷告完全好的话，
if all illnesses of Christians can be healed by prayer,
是不是上帝一定在人信心祷告之后一定有义务行出医病使人就不会死了？
Does that mean that God is obligated to us when we pray that we must really be healed?
这样祷告就向上帝发命令。
If that were the case, then prayer is a command to God.
上帝就因为有过这一类的应许，永远作为人的仆人了。
Because He has promised us, then forever He will be our servant.
神的主权就没有显明出来。
The sovereign will of God will not be seen then.
是不是所有因为病祷告的人，都是在因为犯罪以后，所以他们才有病呢？
Are people sick because of their sins?
如果是这样的话，
if that were the case,
那么所有的苦难、所有的疾病都是因为罪的缘故。
If all suffering and illnesses came from sin,
那些没有犯罪而受疾病、受苦难的人，我们怎么解释呢？
How do we explain people who are sick although they have not sinned?
圣经给我们一本约伯记，就是告诉我们这样完全是人。这样寻求上帝旨意的人，这些行善的约伯，还有可能在别的原因之下受灾害、受疾病、受灾祸。
The book of Job demonstrated to us that a good person can still suffer and go through all kinds of difficulties in life.
这个问题不像今天许多灵恩派都想的那么简单。
It is not as simplistic as what many charismatics believe.
如果我用真正有信心的祷告，上帝不听，是不是？表示我一定是犯罪的。
If I pray to God earnestly and He refuses to listen to me, does that mean that I have sinned?
是不是我有信心真正向上帝祷告，结果没有得到医治，表示上帝没有全能呢？
If I pray to God and I'm not healed, does that mean that God is powerless?
所以我们把这个问题总结起来的时候，
when we summarize this problem,
你看见这段圣经是全本圣经中间很清楚的一段，我按手为他有信心祷告，主会医治他。
This passage seems to say that if we pray in faith and anoint him with oil, God will heal him.
但是这里提到一事，你一定要注意。
But there is one thing that you must take note of.
犯罪，主要赦免他。
That if they have sinned, he will be forgiven.
彼此，你们要彼此认罪。
Therefore, confess your sins to each other.
这里是提到罪跟病的关系，在祷告中间要提出来的。
Here it refers to the relationship between illnesses and sin to be seen in prayer.
在意大利有一个护士。
In Italy, there is a nurse.
他因为给那个艾滋病的人输血的时候，这个血喷到他眼睛里面，不久以后他就因艾滋病他也死了。
She died of AIDS because in a blood transfusion, a tainted blood flew in her eye.
你不能说所有艾滋病的人都是同性恋。
So you cannot declare that all AIDS sufferers are homosexuals.
你不能说所有病的人都是犯罪。
Or all people sick have sinned.
你不能说所有有病的人祷告一定会好的。
Or that all who are sick when prayer will kill them.
你不能说有信心的人不可能病死的。
Or that people of faith will never die of illnesses.
更不能说凡是医不好的就是他一定没有信心。
Indeed, you cannot declare that those who are not well have no faith.
你更不能说一个人有信心祷告不得医治，一定上帝没有能力。
Or that God has no power when people are not healed.
这好像有某一些圣经支持的这个逻辑推演是不合全本圣经的总原则。
All this kind of reasoning may seem to have biblical support, but it doesn't have a general biblical principle.
所以我们不能把这些使徒工作的圣经表现的现象代替就是整个使徒的信仰。
And therefore, we cannot replace the apostolic faith with the phenomena in the work of the apostles.
最爱引用的是马可福音第十六章的最后一段。
The charismatic like to quote the last passage of Mark 16.
有神迹随着他们。
That those who believe in me will be accompanied by signs.
五样的事情。
Five things I mentioned.
就是如果他们吃了毒药。
That if they consume poison.
如果他们给蛇咬到。
If they are bitten by poisonous snake.
这些的事，他们都会得到医治。
They will be healed.
请你注意那边主耶稣说，他们神迹随着他们，而不是指每一个信他人都有这五件事情。
You must take note that Jesus Christ was referring to a group of people, not all people.
连圣经里面的使徒都不是每一个人有这五件事情。
Even in the Bible, the apostles did not all demonstrate these powers.
彼得给毒蛇咬过吗？没有。
Was Peter bitten by poisonous snakes? No.
保罗被毒蛇咬过吗？有。
What about the apostle Paul? Yes, he was.
保罗彼得吃过毒药吗？没有。
Did they consume poison? No.
所以我不能用那一段的圣经勉强在每一个人身上要求你，如果有信仰，你一定有这些神迹，你一定有这些事发生，否则你就不是不信的人。
So I cannot use these few verses to demand that from all people.
不但如此，我们祷告的时候，上帝一定有信心，他就听吗？
Does that mean that in faith when we pray, God will surely listen to us?
我今天要再提三个例子。
I want to show you three illustrations.
三个伟大的人。
Three great persons.
他们都是有信心的人。
All were men of God.
他们的祷告，上帝没有答应他。
But God did not answer their prayers.
我要你们解释为什么有这样的事情发生。
I want you to answer why.
第一个是谁呢？
First person.
以利亚的祷告，上帝没有听他。
The prayer of Elijah.
第二个是耶稣的祷告，上帝没有听他。
The second one is the prayer of Jesus.
第三个是保罗的祷告，上帝没有听他。
The third one, the prayer of Paul.
那么以利亚不是祷告，上帝不降雨三年六个月吗？
Didn't Elijah pray and God created a drought for 3.5 years?
以利亚的祷告上帝不听他。
But why would God not listen to him?
以利亚有一个祷告上帝没有听他。
There was one prayer that was not heard by God.
你知道他求什么呢？
What did he ask for?
他求死。
He asked for death.
你老实告诉我好不好？
Tell me.
曾经祷告求死的请举手。
Those who have prayed for death, raise your hand.
一个。
One.
两个。
Two.
三个。
Three.
还有啊？
Anymore.
还有不诚实的请举手。
Those who are not honest, raise your hand.
你们有哪一个人曾经求死的？
Those of you who have asked for death before.
我求过死。
I have.
一个人为什么求死？
Why would a person ask for death?
生命没有路走了。
Because they think there's no way out.
他的活下去没有意义的。
No meaning in life.
先假设死比活更好。
They first assume that death is better than living.
他就求死。
So he called for death.
我相信很多人都曾经有盼望死的经验。
Many people would have this inclination.
前不久在广东有个女人。
A few not long ago in Guangdong.
她做人太苦了。
There's a woman who suffered greatly.
结果就决定自杀。
So she decided to kill herself.
她就跳到河里面去。
She jumped into the river.
跳下去，四周人慌起来了。
The people were panicking.
所以他们就要帮助她。
They wanted to help her.
当她跑到河边要帮助她。
When they went to the river,
发现这个女人自己爬上来了。
They discovered she actually climbed up.
他们就问她说。
They ask her,
你发生什么事了？
What happened?
她说我想自杀。
She said, I want to kill myself.
自杀为什么爬上来？
Why do you come out?
她说自杀自四杀，但没有想到河这么臭的。
She said, well, the river was very smelly.
我怎么受得了？
I cannot take it.
所以很多人以为生不如死，他没有假设死不如生。
Many people make the wrong assumption.
所以就说了，主啊，让我死吧。
So they say, Oh Lord, let me die.
当以利亚求上帝给他死的时候
，When Elijah asked for death,
上帝没给他死啊。
Did God agree with him?
不但没有给他死
，Not only did God not agree with him,
还叫他起来吃午餐。
I asked him to stand
up. 吃了午餐以后有力量跑。
To have lunch and then he could run.
吃了一大餐，从此又不必吃饭就跑40天，这是世界历史里面。最有营养的一餐。
He ran for 40 days, the most nutritious meal.
上帝不听他的祷告。
God did not hear him.
为什么上帝不听以利亚祷告呢？
Why did God not hear him?
上帝没有能力成全他吗？
Does that mean that God is powerless?
以利亚不够信心求上帝吗？
Did Elijah have enough faith?
都不是。
Not so.
那么为什么上帝不听以利亚的祷告呢？
Why did God not listen to him?
以利亚祷告的时候有一个动机写下来了。
There was a motive sin.
上帝给我死吧。
Oh Lord, kill me.
因为我不如我的列祖。
Because I was not like my ancestor.
我不如我的祖宗。
I am not like my forefathers.
你说什么？
What do you say?
你要死。
You want to die?
因为你不如你的祖宗，你就要死。
Because you're not like your forefathers.
换一句话说呢？
In other words,
以利亚感到做人会超过他的祖宗才甘愿。
Elijah wanted to be better than his forefathers.
祖父幼稚园毕业。
My grandfather graduated from the kindergarten.
我的父亲小学毕业。
My father in the primary school.
我的舅父高中毕业。
My uncle in the high school.
我没有大学毕业，我要死。
So without a university degree, I will die.
这种做人态度对不对
？Is this the right attitude?
对不对
？Is this the right attitude?
我问你呀、
啊、，I'm asking you.
你不回答对不对、啊、
？Is right? Is it right?
我问你呀、啊，这种做人的态度对不对
？Is this the right attitude?
我一定要做到高过我所有的祖先。我才活在世界上有意思。
My meaning in life is established upon me doing better.
所以他求死不是没有原因的。
So there was a reason.
他求死是可以把原因大胆讲出来的。
Boldly he declared the reason for death.
大胆讲出来以后
，After that,
不显明自己的真理这边。
It doesn't mean that the truth was revealed.
就显出自己很奇怪的一方面了。
But it shows a strange part of life.
如果没有超过我的祖先。我宁可不要活在世界上。
If I'm not better than my forefathers, I'm willing to die.
所以以利亚盼望胜过亚伯拉罕。
Elijah wanted to be greater than Abraham.
他胜过摩西。
Greater than Moses.
胜过约书亚。
Greater than Joshua.
胜过许多的先知。
Greater than the prophets.
他的甘愿活在这个世界上。
Then life will be meaningful.
这个动机雄心大志。
This great ambition.
那么会这样，上帝不听他的祷告吗？
Does that mean that God did not listen to him?
也不一定。
Maybe not.
为什么上帝不听他祷告呢？
But why did God not listen to him?
他的祷告
His prayer
是以自己为中心的。
Started with self-centeredness.
你一定要超过所有的吗？
Do you want to be better than all the rest?
绝对不会妨碍人有雄心大志。
God will not obstruct our great ambition.
你说这句话你怎么知道呢？
How do you know this?
我们从耶稣的话听出来了。
We can hear this from the words of Christ.
耶稣说你们若愿伟大。
Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest,
可以的,
you can do that.
如果你若愿意伟大,
if you are willing to be the greatest,
没有错的,
it's all right.
我盼望超过宋尚杰, 有什么错啊?
You say, I want to be better than John Song.
我盼望超过 Billy Graham, 有什么错? 没有错的。
I want to be better than Billy Graham.
但是耶稣说,
but Jesus Christ said,
你就应当做众人的仆人。
You must then be the servant of all.
好的动机没有错。
It is correct to have good motive.
好的动机加上好的方法才蒙上帝悦纳。
But God will be pleased only when good methods are added to it.
上帝不听以利亚的祷告。
God did not listen to Elijah.
这是你见证的时刻，不是你自己想死就可以死的时刻。
Because that was a moment for him to bear witness for God.
上帝不听他的祷告。
So God did not listen to him.
以利亚是有信心的人吗？
Was Elijah a man of faith?
有。
Yes, he was.
全本圣经人类历史中就有几个人信心比以利亚更大的。
Very few people have greater faith than Elijah.
但是有信心的人祷告，上帝可以不听。
But God can choose not to listen.
第二样。
Second.
耶稣的祷告，上帝不听。
The prayer of Jesus.
耶稣在哪里祷告？祷告什么？上帝不听呢
？Why did God not listen to him in what prayer?
耶稣的克西马尼园说：“父啊，若是可行，求你叫这个杯离开我。”
In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "If it is possible, remove the cup from me."
那么耶稣的意志表达出来了。
And Jesus has shown his
祷告就是宗教意志的呈现。
Prayer is an expression of our will.
所以我们在宗教的意志表现出来的，这个叫做祷告。
When we express our religious will in religion, it's called prayer.
耶稣基督对父祷告说。
Jesus prayed to the Father.
请你将这个杯离开我。
If it is possible, remove the cup. He prayed once.
上帝不听。
God did not listen.
祷告两次。
He prayed twice.
上帝不听。
God did not listen to him.
祷告三次。
The third time.
上帝不听。
God did not listen to him.
如果第一次祷告了，上帝接受了，耶稣就不必祷告第二次了。
If his prayer was heard the first time, he need not pray anymore.
为什么耶稣要祷告的第三次呢？
Why did he pray three times?
上帝不但没有告诉我们垂听他的祷告。
The Bible tells us that God did not listen to, not only not listen to him.The Bible did not tell us that God did not listen to him.
但是圣经告诉我们，上帝连回应都没回应。
But the Bible tells us there was not even a response.
克西马尼是真正绝对的孤单。
And so the Garden of Gethsemane was when Jesus was the loneliest.
克西马尼到十字架上是真正爱的真空。
And from Gethsemane to the cross is a vacuum of love.
没有答案。
There were no answers.
没有回应。
No responses.
为什么耶稣的祷告上帝不听呢？
Why did God not listen to Jesus' prayer?
耶稣不顺从吗？
Was that mean that he was not submissive?
顺从到死。
He was submissive to death.
耶稣没有信心吗？
Did he not have faith?
他说我们信心创始成终的元帅。
He is the general in our faith from beginning to the end.
耶稣基督不明白上帝的心意吗？
Does that mean that Jesus did not understand the will of God?
直到死遵行上帝的旨意。
Till death, he was obedient to God's will.
他如果有信心,
if he had faith,
他有顺从,
if he was obedient,
他是合神心意的,
if he's pleasing to God,
为什么上帝不听耶稣的祷告?
Why would God not listen to him?
解释这第二个例子比解释第一个例子困难真多了。
It is a lot harder to explain the second illustration.
我们要明白的第一件事情,
we must understand the first thing.
耶稣所讲的这个杯到底是指什么?
What is this cup that Jesus referred to?
我们要明白的第二个事情,
the second thing we want to answer.
就是耶稣基督说, 我的意思和你的意思不是你顺从我，是我顺从你。为什么有两种不同的意思呢？
Why did Jesus say not my will but your will? Why are there two wills?
所以耶稣基督说将这杯离开我，这个杯是什么呢？
What is this cup that is to be removed?
这个杯是不是耶稣怕死的？
Was that Jesus Christ was afraid to death?
有很多人是这样想的。
Many people think of this.
如果可能，我不必上十字架死。
If it is possible, I do not want to go to the cross.
如果可以的话，我不必死。
If it is possible, I do not want to die.
如果这一个解释成立的话
，If this explanation is true,
我们就侮辱耶稣了。
We are insulting Jesus Christ.
为什么他一生一世到世界上来时要披在肉身，以至于死，结果面对死亡的时候，忽然间退却？
Why would he be cowardly at the very last moment, although he came for us in the flesh?
养兵千日用这一招。
Surely that is the way all of us should, the soldiers should work.
退却的逃兵不能逃罚。
And soldiers that escape at the last moment would be punished severely.
为什么耶稣这么祷告？
Why did Jesus pray this way?
而回教徒是这样接受这句话的。
And the Muslim accept this verse in this way.
又把这句话跟希伯来书把它并在一起解释。
And they link it with the book of Hebrews.
因为希伯来书告诉我们
，Hebrews says,
基督在地上的时候
，When Jesus was on earth,
大声哀哭
，He wailed loudly.
求那能使他免死的上帝。
He called upon God who could let him escape death.
上帝因为他的虔诚，垂听了他的祷告。
And God heard his prayer.
就把死除去了。
And removed death from him.
这个正中回教徒的心意。
And the Muslim liked this explanation.
因为回教徒自从犹大福音以后。
After the Gospel of Judas,
他们就不相信耶稣曾经上十字架。
They do not believe that Jesus was crucified.
在回教的信仰里面，耶稣是历史上六大圣人之一。
In the Islamic faith, Jesus is six of the important saints, one of the six.
在回教的《可兰经》里面，耶稣是上帝差派到人类六大先知之一。
In the Quran, he is one of the six prophets sent
by God. 所以他们说耶稣是以撒先知。
So they call him the prophet Isa.
而且他在末世的时候是唯一回头来到世界，第二次到世界上的唯一的先知。
He's the only prophet that will return back at the last days.
那请你注意听。
But take note of this.
在犹大福音书里面说。
In the Gospel of Judas.
耶稣敬虔圣洁顺从上帝。
And Jesus was wholly obedient to God.
所以他是蒙上帝所宠爱的先知。
And he was a prophet that's most beloved of God.
当他受难的那天晚上
，On the night of the crucifixion,
他就恳切求上帝不要让他死。
He prayed earnestly that he should not die.
因为他很虔诚
，Because of his fervency,
上帝就垂听他的祷告。
God heard his prayer.
耶稣根本没有死在十字架上。
So he has never died.
那么犹太人抓了谁呢？
And the Jews have arrested.
犹太人把谁放在十字架上呢
？There's a who on the cross.
所以犹大，哎，这个叫做巴拿巴福音书，我刚才讲错了，是巴拿巴的福音。
The Gospel according to Barnabas.
巴拿巴福音书里面就这样说。
The Gospel according to Barnabas says.
上帝用他的大能就把耶稣的面改变成犹大的面。
And God with His great power transformed the face of Jesus to that of Judas.
所以呢，他们要抓了耶稣，看见这个是犹大，就不抓他。
And they left Jesus alone because he looked like Judas now.
上帝听了耶稣的祷告，就把犹大的面孔变成耶稣的面孔。
And Judas' face was changed to look like Jesus Christ.
看见耶稣原来在那边，就把耶稣抓去钉十字架。
And so they crucified this new Jesus.
很可惜
，Unfortunately,
巴拿巴福音书呢，在四世纪以前从来没有发生过，没有出现过，没有在世界上存有过。
The Gospel of Barnabas have never appeared before the 4th century.
不但如此
，Not only that.
巴拿巴福音书里面的地理的、词句的、文化的错误，一共有110多次。
There are more than 100 of geographical errors in this Gospel.
所以这本书好的学者、回教徒都不相信是真的。
And so a good Islamic scholar would not accept this book.
多数的回教徒那天没有学术性研讨的人都认为这才是真正的这个基督教福音。
And many Muslims, those who do not study deeply, all accept this.
上个礼拜我传福音给一个回教徒的司机在吉隆坡。
Last week I was preaching to a Muslim driver in Kuala Lumpur.
后来他反过来劝我。
He turned around and advised me.
他说你错了，耶稣没有上十字架。
He said you are wrong. Jesus was not crucified.
上十字架的是犹大，你为什么到现在还不明白？
It was Judas that was crucified. Why do you not understand this?
我很想用同样一句话说，那一本书是假的，为什么你到现在还不明白？
I wanted to tell him that gospel is fake.
但是车已经到了旅馆门口了。
But we reached the hotel.
我就为他祷告。
I prayed for him.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，
Dear brothers and sisters,
耶稣如果是被解脱的，
If Jesus escaped death,
如果被钉十字架的是犹大的话，
If Judas was crucified instead,
但在十字架上应该说，上帝啊，给这些人死光光吧。
Judas would have cursed the people on the cross.
他怎么会说父啊赦免他们，因为他们所做的他们不知道。
He would not say Father forgive them for they know not what they did.
狗嘴不能出象牙。
Because he was an evil man, he couldn't say good things.
所以我告诉你，
I tell you this.
耶稣实在在是死了。
Indeed Jesus died.
那么耶稣死了不等于上帝救他脱离死，表示上帝听他祷告吗？
Does that not mean that God resurrected him and heard his prayer?
但耶稣是祷告叫这个杯离开我。
Jesus prayed that the cup be removed from him.
杯离开我有什么意思呢？
What does that mean?
这个杯不表示耶稣的意念跟父的意念是相左的。
This cup does not mean that the will of Christ is different from that of the Father.
这个杯真正的意思不是死。
The true meaning of the cup is not death.
这个杯真正的意思就像耶利米书所说的，这是上帝的公义，上帝愤怒的杯。
Like the book of Jeremiah said, this is the cup of wrath of God.
这是表示什么呢？
What does this mean?
就是神的审判来到。
The judgment of God is here.
那么神列国东倒西歪。
Then all nations will fall apart.
那么耶稣基督讲这个杯什么意思呢？
When Jesus referred to the cup,
当然这个是指上帝的愤怒。
It refers to the wrath of God.
这是上帝公义的审判。
The righteous judgment of God.
这个审判是不是耶稣死才叫做上帝的审判呢？
Does this judgment come at the death of Christ?
这个审判就是产生了父与子之间的这个分开。
This judgment will create a separation between the Father and the Son.
耶稣基督不要与上帝分开。
Jesus Christ was not willing to be separated from God.
耶稣不是怕死才这样祷告。
He didn't pray like this because he was afraid of death.
耶稣是不愿意与父分开。
He was not willing to be separated from the Father.
分开不是违背，不要分开不是违背上帝的旨意。
And this desire not to be separated is not against the will of God.
父也不愿意与儿子分开。
The Father was not willing to be separated from the Son.
圣子不要与圣父隔开，圣父不要与圣子隔开。父子的意念是相同的。
Both father and son have the same will. They do not want to be separated.
耶稣这样祷告，不等于他反抗上帝。
Therefore, it does not mean that Jesus was rebelling against God.
这样祷告还是在天父的意念里面。
It is still within the will of God.
那么，如果是在天父的意念里面
，If this was the case,
为什么天父又不听他的祷告
？Why would the father not listen to him?
请你注意听下面的话。
Take note of this.
这是一个非常反合性的一个时刻。
This is a very ironical moment.
这个叫做 paradoxical moment.
Paradoxical moment.
为什么呢？因为若没有分开，就没有合一。
If there is no separation, there is no unity.
所以基督若没有死，
If Jesus did not die,
我们就没有生命。
We have no life.
基督若没有受捆绑，
If he was not constrained,
我们就没有自由。
We do not have freedom.
基督若没有受刑罚，
If he was not judged,
我们就没有平安。
We do not have peace.
基督若不受鞭伤，
If he is not wounded,
我们就不得医治。
We will not be healed.
基督如果没有被上帝立起，
If he is not separated from God,
我们就不能与上帝和好。
We will not be reconciled with God.
这一个父与子之间的分开是父不愿意，也是子不愿意的。
This separation is not something the Father nor the Son is willing.
只这样祷告，没有违背天父的旨意。
His prayer therefore is not against the will of God.
上帝不听他的祷告。
But God did not listen to him.
因为这是一个绝对的必须。
It's an absolute necessity.
历史上只有一个时刻。
Only one moment in history.
是圣父圣子一定要隔开来。
It's where the Father and the Son is separated.
救恩才能成全。
That salvation may come.
所以这件事被印证在耶稣的第四句话里面。
And so this is seen in the fourth words of Christ.
我的上帝，我的上帝， 为什么离开我？
The fourth declaration, my God, why have you forsaken?
这就是那个苦杯。
This is that cup.
那耶稣在祷告的时候用了最正确的态度，代表人类对上帝应当有的顺从。
In his prayer, he has the correct attitude in representation of men.
不是照我的意思。
He said, it is not by my will,
乃是照你的意思。
But by your will.
那么现在第二问题来了。
The second question then is,
怎么圣父有与上帝不同的意思呢？
Why would the Son have a different will from the Father?
怎么圣子有与上帝相违背的意思呢？
And he has a will that is different.
不是这样的。
Not so.
这不过是告诉我们，圣父是一个独特的位格，圣子是另外一个独立的位格，所以有不同的意志功能的存在，而不是表示他们有不同的意念。
This only tells us that the Father and Son are two separate persons.
这样，上帝没有听耶稣的祷告。
So God did not hear Jesus Christ's prayer.
如果上帝也连耶稣的祷告都不听的话，
If God would not accede to the prayer of Jesus Christ,
你有怎样的强求，要你有信心祷告，上帝一定要医你的病，一定要听你一切的祈求。
Why should God then listen to your prayer even if you pray fervently in faith?
这是第二个例子。
This is the second illustration.
第三个例子是保罗的祷告，上帝没有垂听。
The third illustration is the prayer of Paul.
保罗祷告很多的事情。
He prayed for many things.
有一件事他说。
There was one thing.
主啊，若是能行。
He said, O Lord, if it is possible.
请你叫我肉身中这根刺把它除掉吧。
Remove this thorn from me.
他祷告
He prayed,
再祷告
prayed again,
上帝回答他说什么
God replied to him,
罢了
That's it
意思是不必再祷告
Do not pray anymore
我不听你这个祷告
I will not listen to you
然后上帝把原因告诉他
And tell him the reason
我的恩典够你用
My grace is sufficient for you
我的恩典如果够你用
If my grace is sufficient
你能不能一方面领受我够用的恩典一方面让我把这个刺放在你身上呢
Would you receive this grace and we have
this? 哦，这个是上帝对圣徒一个很奇怪的，我们很难接受的一件事情。
This is something that few of us can accept.
我说上帝特别爱的，对上帝特别热心的，上帝常常把一些很难受的刺放在他肉身的中间。
Why would God allow some people who love him so much to encounter great difficulties?
是不是保罗没有信心的？
Was Paul without faith?
是不是上帝没有能力的？
Was God without power?
这个也不是，那个也不是。
It's not this, neither this nor that.
保罗是大有信心的使徒。
Paul was an apostle of great faith.
上帝是大有全能的上帝。
And God is all powerful.
那为什么保罗这样一而再、再而三的祷告，上帝不听他？
But Paul prayed over and over again without an answer.
因为上帝不要他所爱的人骄傲起来。
Because God did not want this beloved servant to be arrogant.
一方面用他，一方面给他一些十字架。
On the one hand, God used him mightily, but also gave him great cross to carry.
一方面能力在他的身上，恩典够他用；一方面给他受一些的苦，你不要多讲话。
On the one hand, the grace of God was sufficient for him, but on the other hand, he had to go through trials and difficulties.
这就是上帝的爱。
This is the love of God.
超过人思想的奇妙的爱。
A wondrous love beyond our understanding.
是我们没有办法明白的爱。
Love that we cannot understand.
现在留下的问题。
The questions remaining.
这根刺到底是什么？
Is that what is this thorn?
这根刺是不是真的一根刺在肉体里面拔不出来呢？
Is it a real physical thorn in the body?
这根刺可能不可能就是一种疾病在他的身上呢？
Could it be a disease?
是不是保罗有一些病是很难医治的呢？
Did the apostle Paul have some sort of illness?
我告诉你，有可能的。
It is possible.
有一个可能就是他犯了很严重的眼睛的病。
One possibility is a problem with his eye.
什么意思呢？
What does it mean?
因为他眼力越来越弱了。
Because when his sight was failing,
圣经有没有有这些提示呢？有。
Are there clues in the Bible about this?
保罗说呢。
The apostle Paul
said, 你们看吧。
Behold,
我写给你们的字多么大呀。
The large letters I used to write to you.
什么意思呢？
What does it mean?
他要很大的字写下来。
He had to write with large words.
可能他的手抖得很厉害。
Maybe his hands were shaking.
写一个字要大大写才能写出来。
He got to write large letters.
我自从这四年来。
For the past 10 years,
我的眼力比较差了。
My sight has
been weakening. 所以每次解答问题，那些很小的字的，我就不爱打。
So in question and answer session, if the words are too small, I'm not willing to answer.
很多青年人很有经济学。
Many young people are very thrifty.
买最小的笔尖。
They buy the thinnest pen.
最少那么水。
Use the least ink.
写最像蚂蚁的字。
write words as small as ants.
我心里讲蚂蚁的字给蚂蚁看好
了。The words meant for ants to read.
我看不到那么小的字。
I cannot read such small print.
但是等我自己年纪大的时候呢
？And when I got older,
我发现我写字写得很大了。
I discover I write big words.
你们这里没有替我预备，所有的地方我都安排给我预备一本大圣经在讲台上。
In many churches, I have large print Bible.
我一看了就看就读出来，我比查了半子眼力用的很多。
I don't have to strain.
保罗很可能是有眼睛很重的病。
The Apostle Paul may have serious eye problem.
变成他眼身体上一根刺。
Becomes a physical thorn for him.
保罗很可能有身体上另外一些病，我们不知道。
And we don't know what other illnesses he may have.
有一个美国的作家叫做樊龙。
There is an American author.
这个人是一个荷兰后代。
Descended from the Dutch.
Van Loon 这个人
Van Loon
他写了一本书叫做人类的故事。
He wrote a book called The Story of Humanity.
里面有一段说
There is a passage in there that says
有一个医生
There is a doctor
他常常接待保罗过路布道的时候在他的诊所医病。
They always took care of Paul in his missions.
有一次很久没有看到保罗。
He haven't seen Paul for a long time.
所以他就很想念保罗。
And he thought about Paul.
他写一封信给他的朋友说。
He wrote a letter to his friend.
那因为保罗很久没有来了。
That Paul has not been here for a long time.
来的时候常常给我讲关于耶稣的事情。
When he comes, he always preaches to me about Christ.
这是一个很善良的人。
A good man.
他这个是心地很好的人。
With a good heart.
他很久没有来了，所以我想念他。
He hasn't been here for a long time. I'm thinking of him.
医生就讲一句话。
And the doctor wrote.
他说呢，我听说最近他被接到罗马去了。
I heard that he has been sent to Rome.
很可能他们会定他死罪的。
They may execute him.
我是为他感到很难过。
So I'm sad for him.
因为这样善良的人
，such a good person，
他根本没有犯什么罪。
Have not done anything wrong.
那么如果这件话是真的话
，if this letter is real，
这就表示历史上有明证，保罗有病，保罗找医生。
It means that Paul sought the help of a doctor in history.
如果极端灵恩派的人。
The extreme charismatic.
还有这段的圣经说
，They use this passage and they say，
我们只要祷告
，If we pray，
一切病都会好的话
，All illnesses will be healed。
那么这是太过分了。
This is quite extreme。
上帝可以不听以利亚的祷告。
God did not listen to Elijah。
上帝可以不听耶稣的祷告。
God also did not listen to Jesus。
上帝可以不听保罗的祷告。
And God did not listen to Paul。
我们没有权柄说，只要我有信心，我就可以逼上帝。照他所应许的，每一个病都医好。
And so we are not qualified to say that we are to force God to heal all our illnesses.
最后
，last，
我要请你再注意两件事情。
Take note of two other things.
第一件事情
，the first one，
就是当你为病有信心祷告的时候
，when you pray in faith for illnesses，
你的祷告所用的信心是不是圣经所讲的原则中间的信心呢
？When you pray in faith, is this the faith of the Bible?
如果不是的话
，If it is not，
上帝不会听你的祷告。
God will not listen to you。
你用自信心代替听到是信道从听到来的信心。
Because you are praying in self-confidence rather than the faith that comes from hearing God's word.
灵恩派的人说，只要有病来，只要有信心，一定会好。
The charismatic says, if you have enough faith, you will be healed.
所以许多非基督徒因为这句话去参加聚会。
And so many non-believers will attend their meeting.
他们当时说，我信，我信，因为你这样讲，我信一定会好。他就用这种信心来祷告。
They say, I believe because you say so, I will be healed.
这种信心是 self-confident replace the biblical faith.
这是自信心，不是圣经里面的信心。
这是心理学里面的自信心。
This is self-confidence.
自信心是一厢情愿。
It is one-sided.
一种建立在堕落以后的本性中间的自我的信仰。
Established on the self-faith after the fall of man.
有些神学家称这种信心叫做 faith in faith.
And so some theologians call this faith on faith.
就是用对信心的信心来表示你有信心。
In other words, you are expressing your faith because you have faith in your own faith.
这种信心不是圣经中的信心。
Not the faith in the Bible.
所以当你以为你有这样强的信心祷告，结果没有得医治的时候，你就整个生命垮了。
If you are not healed despite this type of faith, your entire faith will collapse.
这是第一件要注意的事情。
This is the first thing you have to take note.
第二件要注意的事情是什么呢
？The second thing.
就是这一段的圣经清楚知道，他若犯罪。就要被赦免。
This passage clearly says that if he has sinned, he will be forgiven.
又说
，And then
你们要彼此认罪。
Therefore, confess your sins to each other.
这里暗示什么呢
What does it mean?
暗示呢，我们很可能疾病的背后有不肯认的罪，所以我们得不着医治。
It's implicit that some illnesses are caused by sin.
圣经没有清楚告诉我们每一个病都有罪做它的背景。
The Bible did not clearly tell us that all illnesses come from sin.
圣经好几次暗示病跟罪有正面的关系。
But there is implicit that there are relationship between many illnesses and sin.
耶稣在医病的时候，
so when Jesus healed,
他有时候说你的罪赦免了。
Sometimes he will declare your sins have been forgiven.
你信救了你。
And your faith has saved you.
为什么耶稣要把医病跟赦罪的事情连在一起讲呢？
Why did Jesus link healing with forgiveness?
这是事实。
Because it is a fact.
有一些时候我们的病是因为我们的罪来的。
That sometimes we become sick because of our sin.
除了耶稣的话，使徒们有没有提到这件事呢？有。
Did the apostles say this?
在哪里啊？
Where?
在保罗论到圣餐的话的时候所讲的话。
The apostle Paul, when he wrote about Holy Communion.
保罗说，你们若不认罪，若不审查自己，就来吃主的饼、主的杯。
Paul says, if you do not search yourself and you come and partake in the cup of the Lord,
你们不是吃主的饼、主的杯。
You are not partaking in His body or His cup.
你们是吃喝自己的罪。
But you have partaken in your own sin.
所以你们中间有人就病倒了。
And so some among you have become ill.
不少就死了。
And some have died.
这样罪跟病有一些的关系。
There is indeed some relationship between illnesses and sin.
宋尚杰博士在中国历史中间医病的见证很多。
Dr. John Sung has healed many people.
但他有一个原则。
But with one principle.
你要我为你祷告。
Do you want me to pray for you?
第一天听到第七天，我讲的道都听完了，我才为你祷告。
I will only pray for you if you listen to all 7 days of sermons.
不但如此，
not only that,
你要认罪清楚，我才为你祷告。
You are to confess your sin and I'll pray for you.
这是跟今天灵恩派不同的地方。
This is where it differs from charismatic movement today.
宋尚杰祷告病人医好的例子多得不得了。
Dr. John Sung has been greatly effective in prayer for the sick.
我不敢说上帝现在不再做医病的工作了。
So I dare not declare that God no longer heal.
在印尼有五个女孩子都哑巴，五个同一天在宋尚杰按手的时候，五个都好了，都会讲话。
In Indonesia, there were 5 girls who were born mute, and John Sung healed all of them at the same day.
基督教不一定要走西方的路线。
Christianity need not move along Western theories.
基督徒应当从圣经社会神给我们应许的能源。
We need to go back to the Bible as the source of God's promises.
所以为疫病的事情。
So for the matter of healing.
祷告的事情。
Prayer.
不要用灵恩派的所谓使徒的信仰来代替真正的教义的重要性。
Do not follow the apostolic understanding of the charismatic to take the place of the Bible.
更不要用现今的神医运动的一厢情愿的自我的信念来代替圣经中间信仰。
And do not replace the central faith of the Bible with miracle healings of today.
最后，圣经的信仰。
Lastly, the faith of the Bible.
乃是以信基督为中心。
Is centered on the faith of Jesus Christ.
以他为主。
And He is Lord.
尊主名伟大。
That He is first in our life.
让基督的主权在我们的意念之上。
That His sovereign will is above our will.
圣经里面的信仰。
The faith of the Bible.
是根据上帝所启示的道。
It is based on the revealed word of God.
领受上帝的道才能建立纯正的信仰。
Only when you receive God's word can you have pure faith.
第三，
Thirdly,
圣经里面所提到的信仰，
the faith of the Bible,
是在上帝的应许里面投靠顺从。
Is obedience within the promises of God.
把这些原则做清楚了以后，
when we are clear about all these principles,
我们可以勇敢，
boldly we can,
用信心到主的面前来，
to come before the Lord in faith,
求主医治我们的病。
To call upon the Lord to heal us.
但神有绝对的主权。
But God is absolutely sovereign.
顺服他。
We must be obedient.
靠着他的应许。
By His promise.
靠着基督。
By Jesus Christ.
靠着他的主权。
By His sovereign will.
你来到他的面前。
You come before Him.
然而。
And then.
当我们有罪的时候。
If we have sin.
你要彼此认罪。
You are to confess it to each other.
你要把罪搞清楚。
And deal with it.
来到他的面前。
And come before Him.
愿上帝赐福给我们。
May the Lord bless us all.
把这一段有关于医病、信仰、赦罪、医病的事情搞清楚了以后。
When we are clear about all these issues relating to healing.
我们的信心没有动摇。
Our faith will not be shaken.
我们再过一两次以后。
After a few more sessions.
就会把雅各书全本讲完了。
We will finish the book of James.
我们要祷告。
We must pray.
主怎样引导我们在新加坡 继续下去的这个查经大会。
To find out how the Lord will lead us in Singapore.
愿上帝赐福给我们。
May the Lord bless us all.
我们站起来祷告。
Let us rise and pray.
十字架，十字架，又不是我的荣耀，我终追逐你下凡。